Hey there, folks, World Walkers and Everfolk alike. Welcome to World Talkers, an Evermore fan cast. Are you ready for a fantastical journey beyond the portal of Evermore? Fortune tellers and barkeeps beware, for here, there be dragons.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to World Talkers, an unofficial Evermore fan cast. Today, romance is in the air. Welcome as we discuss how to get the most out of your one night at Evermore. And with me today is myself, Skylar, and then my other co-hosts.
Well, hello, everyone. It's Chandler.
Hey, guys. It's Wyatt.
Bow chicka bow bow chicka bow bow. Hey there, Evermore. I'm so happy to have you here tonight in my chalet. I have a fine rosé prepared. Oh, it's gonna be so nice. So nice.
Yeah, we're talking about Evermore, a one-night stand. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So what that means is that today we are going to be discussing how to get the most out of Evermore if you only have a single night to attend the park. And ways that you can do that, both things to do in the park and also ways to work on yourself to get in to the best mindset to experience Evermore. There are some notes that we had written here at the top. Right off the top, you are going to want to wait till the end of our episode during our show notes to hear about something pretty spectacular that we just learned about. So you make sure to stick around for that. There's some groundbreaking news for Evermore that we have to give you.
So, I mean, I guess the big prompt for today is, with only one night in the park, what are you going to do to make it a night to remember? And that's something that we want to dive into in terms of how to do it right. And we also want to make a note that this episode was requested by a listener in an email that she wrote to us. So thank you, Isabel, for this. And also, this was a request not only for her, but for her brother. And we hope we're able to do your question justice.
And to be honest, we have a lot to cover. So I would suggest that we just jump right into it.
Let's do it.
All right. So starting off out of the top of this one, we think that the number one thing when you attend Evermore that you are going to be stepping out of your comfort zone. And we want to discuss that in a couple of ways. There is an article here that we can link in our show notes that we have read. It's called 10 Ways to Overcome Fear and Break Out of Your Comfort Zone. Doing so will allow you to just get the most out of your experience, I think. Especially me, as I've said before, I'm a bit more of a shy person, so this is something that helps me as well. Because initially, when I went, I didn't really break out of my comfort zone too much.
And I would say as well, with these notes off at the top in terms of what we're going to be covering here with stepping out of your comfort zone, it sets the foundation for like the rest of the stuff we're going to be talking about in this episode. It really just builds on itself. So in your preparation to get the most out of Evermore, like, it is cumulative in terms of what you're actually doing and the outcome that you're going to receive.
I should also note that this article is from the Young Entrepreneurs Council. And then otherwise,
it was written by a member of the Young Entrepreneurs Council, but they did not credit themselves by name. It was just to the whole, the Young Entrepreneurs Council. And in the article, it'll kind of go point by point through 10 steps to overcome fear and like step out of your comfort zone. And it just has like a bunch of quotes from famous individuals that like give their thoughts on like what it means to do these things that we're about to talk about now. First of which is what you're going to be doing largely with your night at Evermore.
And that is starting conversations. It's important to be proactive, to go out there and start up conversations with people. I will say there are a few notable people or characters in the park that will start conversations with you. And if you're a little trepidatious, I would imagine that those people would be good people to practice off of. People that come to my mind are Mayor Violet, Sir Philip Humphrey. There are people that are ready to go that will talk to you, but you need to start building the courage and start building the gumption to go start talking to other people, because not all characters will come up and talk to you right at the very start.
Not only that, but it is more rewarding when you yourself choose to make their acquaintance, to go up and talk to them. So try to be the one that takes the initiative and goes and introduces yourself. And remember, all of the citizens from the town and visitors from the current portal will be wearing medallions around their neck. They kind of have this ethereal white color to them.
Yeah, they're cloudy.
They're cloudy, yeah.
And then in the nighttime, they glow.
They do glow, so just watch out for those. They're fairly easy to identify, so just make sure that you go up and introduce yourself and say, "Hey, I am new. My name is Chandler." Well, you say your name. Don't say my name. Identity theft is not a kidding. It's not a joking matter. But yes, make sure you identify yourself.
And if you're worried about how to make taking charge of your experience a reality, our recommendation is to give yourself a time limit, such as within the first 3 minutes of being in Evermore, I want to talk to a townsperson. And then you can kind of keep up with those sorts of goals with the information that I have gained from this townsperson. I want to learn more about this thing that they have told me about, such as, oh, I've come to town. I've spoken to Mayor Violet, and she has mentioned that the town is in a lot of debt. I would like to go to another townsperson within the next 5 minutes and discover how I can earn gold to help the town.
Mm-hmm. And along those lines as well, like it all builds into things, and like with the starting the conversations as well, like what could I do to earn some gold in order to do this? I think it impresses the townsfolk and like spurs further conversation when you are bringing more to it than like just give me a thing versus I would like to earn something to complete a task, to do more with it than just I want a gold nugget.
Which is fun, but
it is fun.
Ultimately, I mean, just like with real life money, it is a means to an end. You get it so that you can do other things with it.
Like disappoint my parents. I mean no.
Or spend it on Evermore merchandise.
Yes.
And so along those lines, in terms of starting conversations, it builds into naturally this next point, which is asking questions others don't like to. And that we'll need to talk a little bit more about what that actually means. But specifically, at Evermore, the individuals that are there are human beings. They're actors, they're people, but they're playing characters in a town, in a world that is surrounded by extraordinary events. So let yourself treat everybody in the park like a human being that you want to build a relationship with and approach the conversations as such. But since it is Evermore, you are given a little more space to push the social boundaries a bit in terms of what questions you're able to ask. Like, what is your greatest fear? What is your greatest triumph? Could you share a moment with me when you felt vulnerable? And so on. That will reveal a lot about the characters that you're interacting with, and you'll get so much more out of it by just pushing it a little bit more than, who are you? Which is a question you probably will ask, but go beyond that and explore that space.
Yeah, I think out of all the members of our group, I think Chandler is the one who really gets in and asks those unconventional questions. What's going through your mind when you are asking those questions? Like, how do you go about it, I guess, is a better way to ask.
You know, I really think that for me, what's going through my mind is the actors and everything are well prepared and have taken the time to create backstories or create a reason for them existing. And I think what is going through my mind is simply, hey, let's play with that. And if the actor doesn't know a particular answer, maybe we'll get one created right on the spot. But ultimately, they are people and interesting people that I would like to get to know. That's kind of my thought process there.
It feels very reminiscent of like Dungeons and Dragons. Not necessarily like, well, to me, what it is that it's Dungeons and Dragons where you're creating a collaborative story with someone. The dungeon master may have prepared a civilian that you can talk to, but sometimes as a player, you can ask questions that go beyond the scope of what the dungeon master has prepared. And that's when it gets fun and wacky and crazy. And not to say that the Evermore actors aren't super prepared. They are. They can answer a lot of interesting questions about their backstory, which then can lead to more collaborative storytelling. Like, oh, I also have that experience in my life. Let's talk about it together and have a shared meaning conversation.
And I guess just on the theme of a one night stand with Evermore, you can treat a lot of your initial like interactions with characters as if you were doing speed dating, essentially, where you want to get in and you want to ask as many revelatory questions as possible that will get you the best idea of who they are, what they're doing, what their goals are, their ambitions, and so on in a short period of time, because it's possible that other people are in line to talk to that person or have... You don't know how long some folks have been waiting to get in with them. So just... I don't want to say make it quick, but I will say like make your questions punchy and like to like have a purpose with the questions.
And I think along with that, they can be, I think like you were saying a little bit earlier, they can be a bit more, you know, revelatory. They can be a bit more personal, because that's the kind of the part of the magic of Evermore is that, well, in some instances, you need to learn or earn the characters like trust to get the answers. A lot of the times you can just ask them super off the wall and what may be in real life considered a deeply personal question that they're willing to answer wholeheartedly, where they're just like, oh, yeah, no, I'll definitely give you this because it's relevant and important. Kind of feels like speed dating for me in that regard, where you're more open to a wider variety of deeper questions, of personal questions. And so the Evermore townsfolk are willing to answer a lot of those questions. If it seems to be super personal, oftentimes they'll just be like, oh, well, I don't know you well enough. And then you just simply ask, oh, well, what can I do to get the answer to that question? I can share something that I've learned with you, or I can go do something for you to show that I actually care about you.
Yeah. And that leads in to the next one perfectly, because it's the idea of agreeing to something you normally wouldn't consider. Now, Evermore is a space that is very creative, very fun. You can be sent on quests. You can be sent on errands by the characters for that specific purpose. You know, if they want to be open, if you want them to open up to you, sometimes you have to open up to them. And that can come about through these quests and through these interactions. So consider it a challenge or a fun obstacle that you can overcome and agree to something that maybe you wouldn't do normally.
Because the park has these opposing groups, different factions, occasionally warring civilizations that will bring different perspectives to different issues. They will want to solve issues in town very differently from another group. And so they will often be competing for basically like controlling the space, as it were, in terms of like, We are the ones that are dictating how things are going to move forward. So it's fun to play into that, but it can also be equally fun to play against that in terms of agreeing with things you normally wouldn't consider. For example, currently right now we're in the Aurora season, and some characters called the Frost Lords just arrived to the park. They're typically portrayed as devious, plotting, and pretty much willing to kill for anything they want by the Aurorans. But they themselves portray themselves as nothing but good and chivalrous and selfless. Like, oh, we are so giving. We want to help Evermore, like reach its highest potential. And that can be a fun thing to consider. It's like, well, why not agree to this idea that the Frost Lords are portraying and try and get that information out in the park? Challenge the status quo. No. Stick to the stuff you know. If you want to be cool, follow One Simple Rule.
High School Musical.
High School Musical. I don't remember the lines. Something about the status quo.
You totally nailed it, though.
Oh, I did not at all. But just challenge what is the common assumptions of the park in terms of story, and that can be a lot of fun.
A lot of characters that you would consider to perhaps be villainous or off the wall or not friendly can lead to a wellspring of information. Another such group being the Scholars. They seem just really overly happy a lot of the time. And so that seems oddly suspicious. But when you take the chance to get to know them and talk to them, you just learn a lot. Just buy into the fact that these people are who they say they are, and you'll learn a lot of information, whether you believe that or not, but if you treat them as if, oh yeah, no, yeah, the Frost Lords are really nice. You guys are super duper nice. They'll be like, yes, we are. Here's some information.
Yeah, and you can use that to your advantage. Even if you believe the contrary, agreeing to the fact that, hey, maybe the Frost Lords aren't bad, then you can approach them with that manner and gain information more better than in a situation if you would have approached them with the thought of that they are bad. Right.
Right. And it's just keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Absolutely.
Like if something does come up in the park and you're like, I disagree with that, have a conversation with the character about why they think they're right. Let the conversation become real about these things. Like, you can philosophize and you can debate and you can have arguments, for lack of a better word, maybe like debates.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Debate's
like
the right word.
You can again, using the word to like challenge the ideas that are brought up in the park, and it'll be fun for growth for you, for the characters, and so on. And if nothing else, you're helping the character cement their ideas. So I think it's a cool thing.
The next point that we have on here that I think kind of goes into it, we've discussed that a lot of your interactions at Evermore are obviously going to involve talking with the townsfolk. And that can be a bit difficult for people that are, you know, a bit more shy, which means, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone. And then the next part is for us is keep a list of growth goals. Our recommendation is, especially if you have listened to this podcast before, when you're going to the park for the first time, you need to map out the experience that you want to have, such as the primary goal of coming in is to gain, first and foremost, the information that you will need in order to navigate the park, such as, well, what is the current things that are driving the drama in Evermore, such as now in Aurora, we have the famine that is being reversed, we have the town debt, and then we have the Frost Lords who have arrived to town making political tensions. So once you have the kind of like general things that are going on there, you can start to set goals with what you want to accomplish in that night.
And I think that one's a little bit difficult just because there isn't much information out there on Evermore. And I think that's intentional by the park.
Very true.
They want you to discover the experience and discover the story when you are there. But that being said, you can still get a pretty loose understanding of what's going on simply by listening to the previous episodes of our podcast, as well as the World Walker Weekly podcast. Great friends of ours who kind of, they do have a lot more spoilers, so just be careful there, but they do catch people up kind of on a week-to-week basis. And then also find social media accounts that are sharing information about Evermore. Look at the photos and try to find characters that you would like to get to know. And then make some plans. Consider what sort of value you might bring to helping them solve their unique problems. I think that is something that you can quite easily do, as there's the hashtag Evermore, Evermore Park, that you can follow and find those great accounts there.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but whenever my father is planning a trip to like Disneyland, it's mapped out. It's ready to go. We know exactly what rides and what things we want to eat and where we want to go, so that we're capitalizing every minute of it. Because I don't know about you guys, I my family gets to go to Disneyland like once every 10 years. Like, we're not huge Disneyland people, but when we are, it's mapped out to the T. And I feel like that same advice can be had for Evermore. It's like, learn as much as you can, find the characters that you want to talk to, find the food that you want to eat. Go visit the attractions that you want to go visit. Make sure that every possible morsel of Evermore can be devoured.
And I mean, and with that in mind, I think an often underused resource that could probably be used more by park goers is the email info@evermore.com, where you can ask about, hey, like what is on the menu presently. And they'll get you that information, so you can plan those things out a little bit more. And if you let them know about what your plans are for the night, hey, this is my first time coming here, or my brother's coming for the first time, my friend's coming for the first time, whoever it is, they will be able to help you out, kind of help tailor your evening. They won't be able to like wait on you hand and foot, but they'll be able to answer some of your questions and let you figure out what you're going to do to get the most out of your evening.
And that's, I think, even we've talked a lot again about talking to characters. We, I think, find a lot of value in experiencing the story, even if it's only for one night and being a part of that. However, if you do want to choose to have a passive experience at Evermore, that is more than acceptable. Like, that is a totally perfect way to attend the park. If you just want to walk in and walk around and not talk to a single soul and just watch the actors perform, the dwarves perform, sing shanties with the pirates in the tavern, go to the animal show, you're more than welcome to do that. And that is a totally good experience as well. So that's also what's important in regards to planning out what kind of experience you want to have, is whether you want to be an active participant, which is what we advocate for, just because we think that that is how the park is best designed. At least for me, that's what I feel it makes my experience there exceptional.
Absolutely, because the park is, again, designed in a way for you to be an active participant. And the way that they kind of describe it leads into our next big section in terms of our one night stand with Evermore, is that you become a champion at Evermore. You are not someone sitting on the sidelines of a great tourney of things going on. You get to be right in where the action is happening. So in terms of that, there are some expectations for what becoming a champion will ultimately mean for you when you go through that portal your first time to experience Evermore.
And along that same line, since we've discussed setting goals, you need to know what Evermore's goal is. We've set our goals for the park. Evermore's goal in for you in the park is to let you become, to make you become the champion of the story.
And I think what that looks like is, like Daniel was saying earlier, the idea of an active role. You're participating in the story. You're helping move the plot along at a purposeful and intentful participation and obligation to the rules. That you're not doing things on your own accord, that you're not just becoming a champion in your own realm, but you're becoming a champion in the realm of Evermore, abiding by their rules, making sure that you're doing it safely and securely, but also having the best time that you can.
If you are to be a champion, you must behave like one.
Aha! There we go.
So in terms of that, just as you're preparing to go to Evermore for the first time, if you haven't emailed info@evermore.com, like, you can, while you're waiting in line, typically Eros the Beastmaster or another character is out there distributing some maps to the park that have rules on the back. Familiarize yourself with those rules. Go on the Evermore Park webpage and you can see some of their frequently asked questions regarding rules there. Like, you can prepare yourself to be a champion and become a champion far before you actually enter in and become the champion.
I think a good rule of thumb is that before you do anything in Evermore or in the park would be to ask yourself, would a true champion of Evermore do this? And then ask yourself, but really though?
But really though?
But really,
but
though.
Really though?
Would they really do that? Give that a second question so that you're absolutely sure.
And then if for whatever reason you can't come to the clear determination for yourself what that answer is, go ahead, ask the actors. Ask the characters, ask the security that's there in the park. They'll be happy to give you an answer, and they'll be blunt about it, and they'll make sure that there's no wiggle room for any misunderstanding. So it'll be very helpful to you if it's like, I kind of want to do this thing, but I don't know if it's against the rules. Let me go ask somebody rather than just letting yourself decide, because a great way to end a night at Evermore is to break the rules and then get kicked out and get blacklisted forever. So don't let that happen on your first night at Evermore.
Yeah.
You don't want this date to crash and burn. So abide by the speed dating rules.
It's speed dating, not like speed restraining ordering. Like, like let it be wise. Be wise. Additionally to sort of behaving like a champion, again, this idea of like the action of the park, like expect for the action of the park to be driven by you. There will be a lot of moments where the plot will be driven forwards by the character interaction that we as world walkers aren't really supposed to interrupt. Those are their tableaus. Those are their moments to showcase their talents and like where the story is going. But literally everything in between those moments, that's us. We are the great deciders. We are the ones that are going to make or break what's going on with certain story elements going on in the park.
Along with that, that means, of course, other guests, other people in the park that are paying to be there just like you. They are also considered champions of Evermore. So treat them with respect and realize that you are all working together collectively in order to drive this story along. They may have different interests than you. They may have different things that they want to do. But if you are paying attention to these things and talking to the characters, realize that you are all being a collaborative team, and like you're saying, Daniel, it's, you know, typical standard rules apply. Like, don't interrupt. Like, hey, let them have their moment in the sun. They are going to get their speed dating question time, and then it shall be my turn, and we can do things with the information that we gain.
And also, again, with time, ask your questions, get to the meat of what you want to know about that character, but make sure you move on, or at least leave and then come back and allow for other one-nighters to come and ask the questions that they want to ask, but don't you know, absorb all of the time that a character has. It really stinks to sit in line and wait and wait and wait and wait, and while you are being respectful and being a champion of Evermore, waiting for someone else to finish their time with the character, make sure that if you're that person with the character, that your time is being well used. If you're just kind of, you know, just kind of talking, just kind of blabbing away, having a good time about not super meaningful stuff, take a step back, let the line or let whoever wants to ask their questions come ask their questions, let them be done, and then come back and continue your conversation or continue your good time. But make sure that you're aware of other world walkers who want to get their pointed questions across and learn what they want to learn.
Yeah, oftentimes when we're doing that, when I'm taking a more kind of interactive experience where I'm just like, oh, I am really having a good time just cracking jokes with Jasper. I think that's like very fun, or just with the Black Hearts in general. Oh, there's a bunch of people that are here to do stuff. I will step back, and then usually that line will barrel through really quick because people have those quick questions, and it just helps flow things along. That way people get you know, both of their experiences. Some people that just want to interact with the experience, some people that want the story and are story driven and have pointed questions, get that across.
And then another part about this, you know, expecting the story to be actively driven by you, expect yourself to also actively be driven by yourself in between character interactions before you come to the park. Like, be asking yourself questions like, when I get a critical piece of information, am I going to give it to the proper recipient? Is there a proper recipient? Will I share it with somebody that might use it for more devious, dastardly means? Am I going to encourage the townsfolk to welcome or shun new individuals that come through the portal from Aurora, from Mythos, from wherever? Am I going to prepare, before I come to the park, a quote-unquote magical item that I think might be able to help somebody with a particular trial or challenge that they have? And, you know, you can, again, like, challenge yourself to be that active participant in all aspects of the park, with the characters, between characters, before you even come to the park, and so on, because that will change a lot of how I think you, like, take command of your night. And again, to those that want to participate passively, totally fine. But I would then even ask the question, how are you going to passively enjoy the park? What are you going to do to enjoy the story passively? Where do you need to be in order to make sure that you're getting the most out of the night? Oh, I've heard, like, I'm going to make a map out in my mind of the time of where the meetings and these tableaus have been scheduled to take place. I need to be at all of those places early. I want to be at the front of the group, because this is how I am experiencing the park. So regardless of whether or not it's active or passive, there is a way for you to just let yourself totally, and this bleeds into the next point, give in to the illusion of Evermore.
And to me, this is one of the more important aspects of Evermore, because once you give into the illusion, once you start participating and being like, yeah, you know what? You are a monster hunter. You are a Blackheart. All right, you know what? You are a knight, and I'm gonna treat you as if such. Then it gets fun. To me, that's when I can just let go and have a good time and be there for the purpose I want to be there, right? I'm not going there to just walk around the park. I'm going there to experience a world that's beyond my own. And once I believe it so, that's when I'm going to get the most happiness out of my visit.
In the simplest way of stating this, when it is appropriate, let it all be real. There are times where it is helpful to be able to just take a step back and distance yourself from what is going on in the park, because it is fantasy. It is not real. It is a story that is being told that you get to see. If you bring a character to the park, as real as that character may feel to you, again, all of this stuff is not real. It is okay for it to be fantasy and to have some escapist elements, but don't deceive yourself that it is anything more than that. Like, love it for what it is, because it is so much. Just let it be appropriate when it is real, and distance yourself when you need to distance yourself.
I think just in regards to that, a good baseline for me is like when I am playing a video game. I absolutely love video games. I buy into the illusion. I am playing it. I feel as if I am there. But there are rules to this universe that would technically, I guess, fall under the word, you know, meta. The rules of the universe should always be in your mind, and then following those rules, it aids in lending to the experience. And I think that that's the best way for me to look at it. When I am in Evermore, I am in the illusion. I buy into it wholeheartedly, but there are rules that exist here to increase the participation and the best of experiences for everyone attending the park, not just one individual.
So while engaging with the fantasy, engage with the fantasy. When engaging with the real struggles of what's going on in the park, engage with those real struggles within the lens, within the meta of, hey, this is fantasy. This is a space that I'm inhabiting for now. But otherwise, like, these are people. I need to treat them as such. If I'm making them feel uncomfortable, I should probably distance myself. Like we're talking about this in the context of like, ha ha ha, one night stand innuendo. It's funny. You're welcome. We're all hilarious. but we've brought up the topic of speed dating like questions. You're not dating the characters. You're not developing romantic relationships with the characters. We'll talk a little bit more about this later. I just felt like it is appropriate to bring it up now, where it's like, yes, we're giving into the illusion, but that is what it is.
It is an illusion.
And is an illusion. Like, don't step beyond the bounds of illusion, because again, then it's restraining order at Evermore. Like, just be smart, be wise, play well, be a champion. Live your time in Evermore with high moral standards. Let it be a wholesome experience.
And if you don't know where those bounds are, if you don't know where immersion begins and ends, ask, talk, communicate, talk to the actors, talk to security, get an understanding, get a baseline of what's appropriate at Evermore, maybe what's not appropriate at Evermore. Because remember, kids, nothing breaks illusion like security kicking you out.
That's a very good point. That is the biggest illusion breaking
thing.
That is
the biggest illusion
to not abide by the rules.
And I think I really like that. The goal of Evermore is to have fun, right? However you have it, and to make it fun for everyone, to help all of those that are around you enjoy their time. And also, yeah, it's an acting job for those actors, but they should feel safe and like they're having fun at work too. And I think that's something that you can aid, that you can help with if you are a champion. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Think like a champion. You are the champion of Evermore, and when you give in to that, you kind of have the best experience that you can have at Evermore.
Mm-hmm. And now we're going to kind of move into our next section that's just titled Meet Everyone You Can. And we'll kind of talk about some, honestly, it'll be kind of more like rapid fire discussion here is kind of how I envision it going a little bit, just because it's it's quick stuff that we've semi-addressed already in this episode and in others, but we just want to cover what it looks like to meet everyone you can while you're there in the park.
So the first one, of course, is to make an impression. Introduce yourself. Make an effort to remember that character's name, remember that interaction, and build a relationship, even if it's subdermal, right? Or dermal, I guess you could say.
Superficial.
Superficial is the word I want. On the surface.
Call out to them over the course of the night when you see them. Let them know up at the front, this is my only night in the park, and I want to make it the best possible night. What can I do to make that happen? They will appreciate that. And you know what? I would even say that they might accelerate some things for you so that you're able to pick things up faster and get into the bulk of the story over the course of one night rather than slowly building up to big reveals. So that's what I would say. Let them know your intentions for the night from the get-go. Make an impression that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I would go along with that. If you come in and you're like, hey, Mayor Violet, it's a pleasure to meet you. My name is Skylar. I am here at Evermore for the first time ever, and it'll probably be the only time that I am here. I am really looking to explore and get to know your village better. What would you recommend that I do? Is there something that I can assist with? I personally always really enjoy romances. Is there anyone here that you think might be in love? Are you in love? Do you have someone you are looking to court? And then you can go from there. It's just a really good way to, again, like you were saying, make an impression.
And with along the lines of earlier, we talked about like setting those goals. Let the characters know what your goals are in the park.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a character that you've set a specific goal for, you can let them know, hey, I want to do this thing for you tonight. Or if it's more general, share it with whomever. Like they may have more ideas on how you can complete a certain task that you have for yourself, then you might be aware. And in that way, you may be building your own quests kind of when you go to the park, because they may say, I really like that. If you do that, I'll give you gold. And so that we'll talk a little bit more about gold in a second. But let's talk about some more ways we can meet folks in the park.
I think one way that's already kind of cooked in there is to join a guild. These guilds are set up for you to become a member and to, at the same time, learn some basic things about the park. So this is kind of a good catch-all that you can find a guild that resonates with you and get yourself initiated into their ranks. We currently have 6 guilds of Evermore that you can join. There are the Blackheart Hunters that try to understand and fend off evil at all costs. They're actually pretty cool. I'm a member. So, hey, welcome.
If you want to join Chandler, join the Blackheart Hunters.
Then we have the Elven Rangers, who strike swiftly and are not seen. They are your classic Elven Rangers.
Some of the next ones is the Coven, which you can unlock the potential within you through study and meditation. Well, meditation, if Zodi is ever in the gosh dang village and can meditate with you.
I'm not bitter.
It's only been like a month that I've been trying to do this part. Sorry, that was, it's just me. That kind of came out of nowhere.
No, that's for sure.
Didn't come out of nowhere.
You've been stood up, and I understand.
You've been wronged.
So the Coven unlock the potential within you through study and meditation when it's available.
Can I ask really quick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just for that one thing, is that level one, level two? Like,
as to get to rank two, I need to be able to meditate with Zoe.
I thought it was to get to rank one, because like you're initiated. Because
Seeker is zero.
Seeker is one, right?
Oh yeah, it's to get to one, I guess.
To get to one?
Seeker is initiate, like technically, and then to get to one is scholar, which requires this.
It's painful.
And it has been an absolute frustration of mine to try and get to meditate with Zodi, because he has been inaccessible and there's no other way to accomplish this task when speaking with Wen. And so I've just been sitting there waiting.
That is super frustrating. That's awful. I've been like every we'll get to it. Never mind. Keep going. we'll get to it.
No, it's all good. Additional guilds include the Pirates of the Last Shackle that aim to free the oppressed and the downtrodden. They're the bards of Evermore that bring light and joy even in the darkest of times.
And then finally, there are the Knights of Mythos who ensure that Evermore is safe and protected on all fronts. I am a Knight of Evermore. I'm technically level 4, which is wild to me that you're not even level 1 yet. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like majority of the coven's probably not level 1.
I think there's one person that is level 1.
Yeah, I think there's only one person. As far as been able to find out, I haven't checked back to see and ask that question of how many people have made it to Scholar now. But as far as I'm aware, it is one person.
Coven needs to step up their game.
Yeah.
So joining a guild can take some time, depending on how much you choose to focus on it, and depending on the guild. For example, the coven, it does take longer to progress in their ranks. So honestly, my recommendation, if you're only going to be in the park for one night, talk to the coven, but I would say don't dedicate your night to joining up with them and trying to progress. You could do initiate, but some things will naturally take a little bit more time. So kind of try and judge where your time is going to be best spent. And again, just because you're trying to join a guild doesn't mean your whole night has to be dedicated to that. I would say like intersperse the guild quests throughout your night's adventures. You can pick up these quests along the way. You can talk to them because they're kind of stationed around the loop that is Evermore. Then you can pick them up naturally, take them on naturally, complete them along the way without it feeling like, okay, I have to pick one up, do all of them, report back. Now I have to go to the next one. Because again, it's just kind of like a time management thing. Depending on what your goal is for the night, maybe that's what you want to do. You want to totally focus in on something. But my recommendation, intersperse it around, like sprinkle it a bit, sprinkle it around a bit.
They do focus as like a good introductory questing and information gathering. So it helps you out in that regard. So some of the guilds have similar things that they will ask of you. So just deciding, well, I'll do it for this one, but not for that one, to whatever it is, to learn information or earn gold to do the thing that I want to do. Which leads us into our next point that we have on our outline, which is earning gold and spending it. Over the course of your night, you are most definitely going to encounter the offerer's gold as a reward for taking on a task from one of the townsfolk. And these tasks can be complex or they can be pretty simple. Just try to complete a lot of these, as many as you can, because they can open up quite a few opportunities for you. Once you've earned gold, you can spend that gold in a variety of places. One of them being to get your fortune read from Miri or a variety of other characters that can do that. Or you can gamble with Gazer or the pirates in the tavern. Like, and if you don't find gold alluring, like it can do a lot. You can also trade in secrets, and people are usually willing to do that. Like if Gazer, you're like, hey, Gazer, I want to gamble. And he's like, but do you have any gold? And you're like, no, but I have a secret. I'd be willing to gamble for a secret about so-and-so person, and then if I win, you can tell me a secret that no one else knows.
Let's say I want to know specifically about this particular thing, Gazer.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's a alternate ways of finagling the earning system in Evermore. If gold's not particularly your thing, there's other ways you can win and gain in-game currency that may not be monetary, but is more based on information.
Gold does tend to loosen lips for some characters. So if you're struggling to talk to a character, you might implement some gold in one way or another.
And it goes to show that using the gold is very beneficial. And though we may enjoy hoarding gold like a dragon, it is really in the use of spending gold that its true value is found. Just, I think, like any monetary thing, if you use it, you're going to get more out of it potentially.
And I would say this, if you're willing to take home some gold as like a collector's item or as like a little memento for the night, I would say totally chill, that's fine. I would just say they tend to be fairly small and get lost really easily, and if you're like me, they're going to end up in your dryer. So
considering that it's a spray-painted rock,
you're going to have a rock in your dryer. So don't be like me.
Maybe save up some gold during the night and barter with one of the townsfolk. They usually have more fun, like
trinkets and little things here and there. Yeah.
Yeah.
This next point, I think, is a fun thing that you can do and that we've definitely done in the past. But I think it also requires the most finesse. It is helping the hopeless romantics. We just want to say, as obviously we've kind of talked about, yes, romance and everything is a part of life and also part of the life of some of these characters. Not all of the characters are comfortable with it. That's okay. We just kind of wanted to say, don't push any relationships on the actors or characters that they themselves are uncomfortable with, and let them decide that. Let them lead it. So I think that's an important thing. But it is, as Wyatt has mentioned in the past, something that his sister enjoys and other people have found to be enjoyable as well.
And it can be a fun little thing that spices up the night in terms of like, oh, I had no idea that this character had some like feelings about this other character, but they didn't know how to reciprocate. What are we going to do about that? It's like, and like Chen was saying, let them be the ones that lead it out. Let them be the ones that guide it, because maybe they really just don't want anything done about it. Like they don't want people to start pushing those things, because some of these actors are married in real life, and maybe it's like, I'll give these guys a bit of like, yes, my character's in love, hooray, hooray, but maybe the actor themselves isn't comfortable with the idea of something being pushed in the park that would maybe lead them to feel like, oh, they're being unfaithful outside of marriage. Like, but some of them are totally cool with the distancing of, hey, I'm acting, this is a part, this is a character, and they're willing to explore that space. So just, again, it is all actor. Play their game when it comes to romance. Don't try to push it yourself.
Otherwise, everyone in the park would just be, it's just everyone's in love with everyone. Piper is married to everyone.
Yeah. And Turok is officiating all of the weddings and isn't keeping any sort of a paper trail. So like when the time inevitably comes, we're like, people are like, why did we do this? There's no way for divorces to happen effectively.
Greasy's married to who knows who.
You know what I would actually really love to see in the park is a divorce. Like characters that get married and then have a divorce, and we get to pick sides and have like a really heated spat between lovers.
That would be
heavy. I want to see the Netflix story, A Marriage Story, starring Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver, play out in the park.
I was going to say, I want to see a goblin marriage.
A goblin marriage would be awesome.
Whatever that is. So like that would be a fun cultural thing, I think, to witness.
Am I evil for saying that I want to see divorce in the park? I just got this I feel like I'm an evil person. I'm not a bad person. I just want to explore a lot of different facets of relationships. Yeah.
If the situation presented itself, if it naturally happened that way, it would be a very interesting story to tell.
No, it would be.
And I think that's the whole purpose of Evermore, is to tell unique and interesting stories. Not all of them have to be happy. Lore 2019. So...
I think in that regard, that's when the illusion becomes important, and also that separation of the rules, because those experiences, things like that, things that we've experienced with like character death in the past, when you buy into the illusion, they can be very emotional. It can hit you in the heart, and then you have to just take a step back and remember, okay, hey, this is a production. They are attempting to convey a story. What can I learn from this story? And in a lot of ways, that helps you learn when you remember, again, when you take a step out of that illusion and you get the emotions that you would feel from believing in Evermore as a place. And then when you step back as a consumer, as a guest here, you realize, oh, well, there's a story to be learned here. And it progresses the plot along.
I actually really like that you look and see, hey, I've just experienced this fantasy world and these fantasy experiences, but what can I take home with me? And what can I, either as a physical thing or as you mentioned, Skylar, a lesson that is learned, right? What can I apply to my life? How has Evermore benefited me? And I think that is a question that can come up quite frequently, as we've discussed plenty of times, that we have learned life lessons in Evermore, and that honestly is a large takeaway. But what else can we kind of take away from our one night at Evermore if we only had one?
Well, Skylar would know, but merchandise. You can always yeah. take home merchandise, baby.
Yeah, those are the physical goods that like Chandler had mentioned there. Like you have a whole gift shop, a whole mercantile space that is set up for you to take home beanies and shirts and other things, posters and postcards, and like the list can go on and on and on for things that you can take home and like incorporate into your daily life. That's like, hey, this is a reminder to me that I was a champion of Evermore. Even if it was just for a night, like I would say, you know, like once a champion, always a champion. Like you earn that title. It isn't taken away from you, like when you leave the park. So like if getting a souvenir is something that you would like to do and is something that helps you stay connected to these awesome experiences that you've had, I would say set some money aside. I would say between 10 to like 50 bucks. And you'd probably be able to pick up one to three things in that shop that'll be worthwhile, that you can hang on the wall, that you can share with your friends and so on.
I would also like to jump in on this because obviously I love to be a merch boy. I am a merch goblin. I want all of the things.
I am Skylar, the merch goblin.
Hello, give me the merch.
I want to collect it.
I must collect it.
I also think part of the reasons why I really enjoy merchandising and things like that, collectibles, is that it not only, like you were saying, it allows you to bring home something that you can remember forever with it, but you can also help support the park in an additional way. You just go, hey, I've really enjoyed this so much. I have enjoyed my time spent here that I am willing to purchase something else that I remember and that also supports you, so that hopefully this one night in Evermore can eventually turn into another night that I get way down the road. It helps support the park, and I promise that we are not getting any sort of kickback or pay from this to push their merchandise. I just personally, this is just a personal life philosophy that I have. I enjoy supporting small businesses. I enjoy supporting new ventures and things like that to allow them to be around for a long time, because I appreciate what they're doing and I would like to continually return to that place.
Yeah, and I would say, in the words of the unforgettable and insufferable Jake Paul, buy that merch. Buy that merch. Hey, buy that merch.
You might
awful.
Be the only one at this table who knows what that is.
You've just ruined my beautiful sentiment with Jake Paul.
I
know
yeah.
who he is. I've never heard that before.
My hope is that I didn't just ruin that sentence, but that I ruined your day. But to hopefully recover from that, Chandler mentioned that, you know, we've had some life lessons learned through Evermore, and I was hoping that before we get into some of the recommendations from you, our listeners, that you gave to us about like the best ways to spend time in the park, is that we could just kind of share briefly some of those things, or if we'd like, we can share those after we go through listener recommendations.
I've got one right now.
Yeah, you got one right now.
Let's do it right now. So, considering the lessons that I've learned over the course of my many evenings at Evermore, and hopefully you get something from your one night at Evermore, but for me, one of the best lessons that I learned at Evermore is that forgiveness is the best kind of magic.
Oh.
That's good.
I like that.
I hit my heart.
My heart.
It's
my
true.
Heart has been
it's
warmed.
True. When people don't forgive, bad stuff happens. But when people forgive and they reconcile, that's like the purest moments of Evermore. Is people coming to understand each other, forgiving each other, and then moving on together.
Mm. That was very good.
I like that.
So that's a lesson for me that I've learned from Evermore. That was many nights of Evermore. Hopefully you get something really good from just that one night. But
yeah.
Be open to it. There are great moments and memories and lessons to have at Evermore.
If I could condense my a life lesson learned at Evermore down to a sentence, I think it would be Seek not to act out of fear, but out of understanding.
Deep.
Yeah,
that's
love
a very
it.
Good one.
That one's
like
really
it.
Good.
Thank you.
It's like that really sums up Evermore.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of plot lines that I think could have benefited from that approach. your dang characters, if only they could listen to our podcast.
Just understand. Just take a moment to listen to these people.
Do not act out of fear.
So, yeah.
I think mine would be every person has a story to tell, and they're all important.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
I think that is something that I've kind of been implementing into my own life is, hey, every person that we meet, they're important, and they have a story to tell, no matter how small, and I love that.
I think for me, one of the things that I have learned a lot with is patience. Patience with characters with these misunderstandings, but also patience with myself. That you can do more than you can think you do if you just take a moment and have a little bit of patience to think and recollect and say, hey, look, I am out of my comfort zone here, but if I just have patience with myself for one moment and push myself just a little bit further, I can step out of my comfort zone and grow. I really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Now let's take a look at some of the comments that our listeners had that we'll kind of wrap up with as we move into our closing little bits.
And a huge shout out to all of our listeners who commented. We love you guys. And if of course, we don't have the space or the time to get to every single comment, but we love you all. Thank you all for contributing, for signing in, and giving us your thoughts. We appreciate it.
So the question that we asked everyone was, what do you do to get the most out of Evermore if you were only going one time? Yes?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Perfect. So first and foremost, we had JordanRiley3 on Instagram. They say, sing with the dwarves and pirates, get your fortune read, and gamble.
Good activities. BayThorisGirl13, I slaughtered it on Instagram, says one word. Adventure!
Go on adventures!
Great advice.
Evermore for Kids shared some very wise words that I thought were great. They shared that to get the most out of one night of Evermore, philosophize with Sykes, or at least what they do to get the most out of Evermore. They philosophize with Sykes, encourage Violet, stroll with Philip, listen to Cleo sing, applaud a knight initiation, lose a banter match with Ollie, fight evil shoulder to shoulder with Jasper, Kine, Dervil, Drake, and Kyra. So it's if there's one thing that I think to take from that, it's all character oriented. The focus is on those sweet, sweet characters. You know, like having meaningful engagements with those characters.
Our good friends over at World Walker Weekly, they shared a lot on Instagram that was kind of thread throughout here. So I'll go with a few of them, but it was
the one that was the most important.
It is the most important here. And they said, try the gumbo.
Try the gumbo.
It's delicious.
So tasty.
To mix Bathory's Girl 13 and theirs, adventure. Try the gumbo.
BellaGaga585 on Instagram said, walk around in character and converse with all the amazing actors, existing in the space with happiness, and drink all the warm, yummy drinks they have as much as I can.
They do have some yum, warmy drinks. Yummy? Did I say yum, warmy?
They have yum, warm.
Yum, warmy. Yummy, warm drinks. Jeez.
The drinks are good. The Evermore is a good thing.
They all the food sucks. It's good.
Mary on Facebook said, I have only had one night in Aurora, so with my time, I strike up a conversation with one of the Evermorians about the story, see if there's anything new. Then I take a few laps, try to chat with any of the new visitors to town, like the Acolytes, and hear their side of the story. After that, I find my friends and hang out, and find a trade or two. Of course, I'll snack on something if my bank is willing. We totally understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jacob on Facebook says, I love to just walk the park, see the sideshows going on, singing, fire dancing, etc., and try the food. The bread soup bowls are the best. There's a very heavy food theme in
there. There really is. I selected the comments that were there, and just a lot of them talked about the food.
Apparently, if you only go for one night, try the food. We didn't even touch on that in the episode.
Yeah,
try the food.
Yeah, a good tip there is, first thing, after you talk to your first character, go get food immediately upon entering the park. The lions are usually died down, or head to the Hex Cove at the far end of the park. There's usually not a lion there.
That is true.
Kevin on Facebook says, I have only been able to attend one night per season. I don't plan on participating in the story when I go. I hang out in the burrows, make a few laps around the park to see who I run into, hit the tavern a couple times to people watch, and get food from everywhere I can. Which is interesting, I think. He does mention that he kind of takes the passive route, which I think is very interesting. If that is something that you would like to do, and that's totally fine. There is no wrong way to play at Evermore, except when you break the rules and be a jerk. So, but passive play is totally fine.
Yeah, and it's great because that is his intent. He says, I don't plan to participate in the story. Great, like that is his plan. He wants to passively be a part of it. He knows what he's going to do. And like, mad respect, Kevin. Thank you for providing a point of view that I hadn't really considered much before today, just because we have different play styles, and I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on like what you get out of the park, like what is Evermore to you, because you clearly have a very interesting perspective. So thank you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Leticia on Facebook.
They say, I only get to go once or twice a season, so I approach Evermore. The way I approach Evermore is I listen to the podcasts.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. To keep up with the story. And then I pick a goal based off that, such as to make sure and try and find and talk to certain people to see what things I might be able to do to help them. And I always try to do at least a few tasks to help myself progress in the Rangers Guild. I mean, that kind of nailed it on the head. That's kind of what we're talking about. Well done.
Yeah, so we have a wide variety of thoughts from our listeners. You have a lot of thoughts from us. So hopefully, Isabel and brother and whomever else is listening this that is trying to plan out their one night in Evermore to make it the best night possible. We hope that this was something that was very useful to you, that it can be a tool that you listen to once, twice, thrice, whatever it is, in order to make sure that you're able to maximize not only what you're getting from Evermore, but what you're able to put into it. So that, because it's I would say it's you get out of Evermore what you put into it, right?
Yeah.
So, hopefully, this is useful. That's what I really want to say.
Hope
it's good.
Hopefully, it helps you understand what you want to put into your experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For your one night.
One night alone.
That is right.
As we come here into the sign-offs, we wanted to discuss that thing that we had mentioned very briefly at the top of the episode. Today, the day that we are recording this, so you'll hear this a little bit...
A week late
from when we are recording, is that, one, you can apply to become an actor at Evermore Park. So get your stuff in now. Go ahead and go to their websites, their Instagram posts. They have links there that you can follow to put in your applications.
Make sure you got some good headshots.
Yes. But additionally, within that, when we were looking at the information contained within, currently, up until this point, there is
what's this noise? It's desert. It's fire.
What looks to be a new season at Evermore, a new portal opening. So we have had Mythos, Lore, and Aurora. Now it seems that we will be having Mythos, Pyra, Lore, Aurora. Or Pyra. I don't know
Pyra.
How.
Pyra. So it could be anything.
It really could.
Pyra.
It's very exciting.
Current conspiracy theory, I think it's a desert world or a desert portal.
I would agree.
I think I would like that. That'd be fun.
Where are you guys seeing this?
Did you not see the text today?
Do you not pay attention to what I was just speaking about like literally 2 seconds ago?
Text from
it's
Corbin.
It's in the text from Corbin. In the group chat.
Look in the group chat.
Asleep.
Guess what?
What, you don't immediately season. Check all of your texts as soon as you wake up? You don't immediately check to see what we've all said? Come on, Chandler.
So this is news for you, right. Chandler. Welcome. New
hey,
season.
Welcome. Chandler, there's a new season.
You know that groundbreaking news we talked about at the top of the episode?
It literally is groundbreaking for Chandler. He can't talk.
I see. Oh.
Yeah.
That face. That was like a...
Oh.
Oh.
When I woke up, I saw Evermore cast application, and then she said fire, and I was like,
oh, yo, this application's fire, though.
That's what I thought.
So well worded.
Oh, yo, this is so great.
I only read the actual like title and didn't actually read the thing that she had highlighted.
Oh, this is fantastic.
And then the conversation continued.
I'm leaving this in the episode, by the way.
Fantastic.
new season.
Hey, guys, there's a new season.
New portal. So Wyatt thinks that it opens up to a desert portal. Any other thoughts?
I agree with that, considering that if you go in and read the audition notes, it says spring season mythos, summer season, Pyra or Pyra, or I don't know how it will be pronounced.
My current prediction is that it's going to be a portal that just opens up to New York City during the summer, because my goodness, it gets so hot. It's just insufferable. I cannot tell you how bad it is out there. It's going to smell awful. It's going to be a very hard... I think it's going to be a very difficult portal to deal with. Some of those folks might be a little hot-headed. Who knows?
I'm walking here.
Joey Wheeler.
Oh, man. I'm going to rescind my desert. I'm going to keep it there, but I'm going to hold on to it for now
Rescinding it, but you're keeping it there?
Yeah. It's going back into my hand. I'm taking it from the field into my hand, and I'm laying down my new trap card, New Orleans. Kind of a New Orleans summer swamp kind of thing.
Ooh, a summer swamp.
I think because there's so many gosh dang mosquitoes in the summer. That's the only way all these mosquitoes come in from our portal. We're so sorry.
Oh my dear, I'm so sorry about that.
Oh my dear, I'm so sorry about that.
Now that was a foghorn. That's actually an interesting idea.
I will offer up my thought, my suggestion. I feel that I'm feeling Persian vibes from this.
Ooh, okay.
Like, so it is a desert, but Persian desert specifically. I think the spelling and wording
honestly, as I was thinking about it, I think it would be interesting to have that arabesque like style, that influence come into the park, because lately, like, we've had like this Victorian style, we've had some more barbarian Vikings type stuff with some of the wolves, we've had just very very European style stuff. I would say Zodi has kind of been a bit of a flare of that Persian style, as he came from Persia, like where his monastery was at. And so it's like, okay, what would it look like if we had a full cast of characters, or at least like a full like set of characters that are coming through the portal that bring that vibe? I think it would add a whole lot of flair to the park on top of what is already there. I would look forward to that.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I'm going to love it. But yeah, it's just like a prediction for now.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
So, new season. Look forward to it.
New season.
Look forward to it.
And not only is there a new season, but we have a new sponsor on Patreon. And so we just want to thank Ariel Ross for supporting us at the $25 tier. Thank you so much. You're an amazing person.
Thank you so much.
We
seriously,
we're giving you all of the audio hugs that we can. When editing this, Skylar is going to edit in wave files that look like hugs that are just going to hug this audio.
I don't know
how to do that.
It's going to be 3D audio that you're going to loop around it. You're going to create 3D audio to put into this file to create a 3D hug.
Yep.
Audio hugs.
Yep.
I'll do that.
It's because it is said.
Because these are all real things that I'm talking about that aren't total hokum. But otherwise, again, thank you so much, Ariel Ross, for your support.
If you like what we do, please consider supporting us on that Patreon. It really does make all the difference in the world. Just that most recent donation has really pushed us to become more active, become more able to produce the things that we want to produce for you and forevermore. So please help us out if you can, if you want. We'd really, really appreciate it.
In addition to the donations on Patreon, we have our Redbubble that is currently up and operating. So you can go on there, search for World Talkers, and you'll be able to find us. Still, it's the logo that is going to be on the merch. But honestly, the logo is sharp. It looks crisp on the shirts and on the mugs and on the shower curtains. I highly recommend a World Talker shower curtain. If you're not repping us in the shower, are you really repping us? That is what I have to offer to this.
As we get more support, we definitely want to do more things like that. As I said before in our last episode, I'm currently working on a baking line just because I think it would be fun. And hopefully I'll have that out pretty soon. But keep watching that link that we'll have in our show notes there.
Please follow the park at evermore.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram with our handle at World Talkers.
Call in to leave a message at 801-332-9321 or email us at worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com to share with us your thoughts and opinions on the park and contribute to the podcast and help us think of cool things to talk about.
Leave us a review on that sweet, sweet, sweet Apple Podcasts. 5 stars, please. Thank you so much. And that'll be all for that. And we just want to also give a special thanks to our dedicated, amazing, illustrious, vivacious, superb, just great person, Eileen, for being our executive producer. You are such a huge part in making the magic of this podcast possible and helping us improve the quality of the content. You'll be happy to know that something that you helped us do is get some audio splitters so that we can actually all listen to our audio as we're recording this. So hopefully that'll help us make an even better product. So a tangible difference you have made. Thank you so much, Eileen.
And thank you so much to everyone else that listened today. We super appreciate it, and we hope that you have the best of times at Evermore, and we look forward to hearing about all of your adventures and seeing what great accomplishments you're able to achieve. Good luck to you, current and future champions. Wherever your next quest takes you, we'll be seeing you.
Beyond the Portal.